All right, so welcome to this deep dive, and today we're going to dive deep into this article, Issues of Personal Boundaries in Counseling Part 2. It's written by Michael Limata.
Okay.
And this was chosen specifically because of the documents you provided.
Right.
And it really focuses on this kind of fascinating question of how much personal experience should counselors share with their clients?
Yeah. Yeah, and especially in the world of addiction and recovery.
Right, exactly.
It's a really timely topic.
It is.
Especially considering the unique dynamics you find in a residential recovery setting.
Exactly. Because, I mean, he points out some potential benefits, right? You know, building trust, hope, mm-hmm. but then also cautions against the risks, you know, like blurred lines, ethical dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to explore that delicate balance between empathy and professionalism.
Yeah, I think this whole idea of a counselor revealing their own struggles might seem kind of counterintuitive at first.
Right.
You know, we tend to think of them as these objective figures there to guide us without, you know, revealing too much about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But Limata, he challenged that, especially in the context of addiction recovery.
That really stood out to me, too. I mean, he argues that when counselors reveal their own experiences,
mm-hmm.
especially if they've kind of walked a similar path, it can be really powerful for clients.
Yeah. And I think it's, it's about dismantling that sense of isolation,
yeah.
that feeling of, you know, what he calls terminal uniqueness.
Oh, wow.
You know, have you ever felt like you were the only one struggling with a particular issue, like completely alone?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. And in that moment of feeling completely alone, imagine someone you respect, someone in a position of authority,
right.
sharing that they've been there too, that they understand firsthand.
Right.
That can be incredibly validating and empowering.
Absolutely. It's like that light bulb moment where you're like, wait, I'm not the only one.
Exactly.
Recovery is possible because someone else has done it.
Yeah. And he even connects this to that powerful message about comforting others with the comfort we've received.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a beautiful depth to that.
Yeah.
You know, that we can use our own experiences to help others kind of navigate similar challenges.
Yeah. It really makes you think about the ripple effects of vulnerability.
Yeah.
How one person's willingness to share their story can kind of create a sense of hope and community for others.
Totally.
He uses this really vivid example of a counselor who had struggled with addiction himself.
Okay.
And when he opened up about his journey, it totally shifted the dynamic with his clients.
Wow.
You know, he was no longer just an authority figure, but like a fellow traveler on the road to recovery.
Yeah, that shared experience, that connection,
yeah.
that's often what lays the groundwork for, you know, trust and deeper engagement in the therapeutic process.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Clients may be more receptive to guidance and support from someone who has walked in their shoes.
Right.
Someone who truly understands the challenges.
Absolutely. However, this is where we start getting into some like kind of trickier territory,
yeah.
especially within the unique environment of a long-term residential program.
Right. Because in residential settings, the lines between professional and personal can become a lot more blurred.
Right.
You have staff and clients working in close proximity, sharing meals, participating in activities.
Right.
It creates a level of intimacy that's not typically found in traditional outpatient settings.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that intimacy comes incredible opportunities for connection,
right.
but also potential risks that need to be really carefully navigated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where this whole idea of boundaries becomes so important.
Right.
Limata, he really stresses the importance of, you know, establishing clear ethical guidelines to navigate these complex situations.
And it makes sense, right? I mean, because while those close relationships can be beneficial,
mm-hmm. they can also, create some pretty serious ethical dilemmas.
He talks about things like romantic involvement between staff and clients,
right.
favoritism, and even situations where staff might start relying on residents for emotional support,
right.
instead of having their own, external networks.
Yeah, which, as you can imagine, can lead to a whole host of problems.
Absolutely.
It's about protecting both the clients and the staff from those kinds of situations where the power dynamics become, you know, kind of skewed,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's well-being is at risk.
Yeah, it's a huge responsibility.
Right.
And I think Limata's point about staff not attending the same support groups as their clients, you know, that really drives this home.
That's a great example.
It's about maintaining, you know, a healthy professional distance.
Yeah.
Ensuring clients still view the staff as, well, their counselors.
Yeah, and you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the team approach that he mentions.
Right.
It really resonated with me.
Yep.
It's not just about one counselor having all the answers.
Yeah.
Or bearing the full weight of a client's, you know, recovery journey.
He emphasizes that sharing insights, supporting each other,
yeah,
and ensuring clients aren't becoming overly reliant on any single staff member.
What?
That's crucial.
It's about spreading the responsibility, both for the sake of the client and the staff.
Yeah.
I was especially struck by how this team dynamic offers a safety net for the staff. You know, imagine being able to debrief with colleagues, discuss challenging cases, and support each other through difficult situations.
Yeah, it's like built-in emotional support and supervision.
Right.
Counselors can process their own experiences, gain perspective from others, and avoid getting burned out.
Yeah.
Or making decisions based on their own, you know, unresolved issues.
That reminds me of something else he touched on, the potential danger of sharing too much about, you know, ongoing personal struggles with clients.
Right.
It's about finding that balance between being relatable and maintaining a sense of, you know, professionalism.
Right. Right. Because if a counselor constantly reveals their own raw, unresolved issues,
yeah,
it can actually undermine their credibility and make clients lose respect.
Makes sense.
You know, they might start questioning the counselor's ability to, you know, guide them effectively.
It's almost like that saying, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
Counselors need to prioritize their own well-being and emotional health in order to, you know, effectively support their clients.
And that's why having strong support systems outside of the program is so crucial.
Right.
They can't be relying on the residents for emotional sustenance.
Right.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reminder that self-care for counselors is just as important as caring for their clients.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, we've been talking a lot about the, you know, complexities of counseling in a residential setting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some really valuable takeaways here for, you know, anyone who's ever been in a position to help or mentor others.
I couldn't agree more, whether you're a teacher, a parent, a coach, or even just a friend.
Right.
This idea of balancing empathy with boundaries, it's universal.
Yeah.
It's about being there for someone without losing yourself in the process.
Right. Yeah, it really makes you think about the power dynamics, you know,
yeah,
at play in any kind of helping relationship.
It does.
And the responsibility that comes
yeah.
with having that influence over someone else's life.
It's a constant balancing act, isn't it?
It is.
Knowing when to offer support, encouragement,
right.
and when to, you know, step back and allow someone to kind of navigate their own journey.
And what I appreciate is that Limata, he doesn't give us like a hard and fast set of rules.
Yeah.
Instead, he provides a framework, right? for thinking critically about these issues.
Yeah.
He pushes us to consider the potential benefits and the risks.
Mm-hmm.
And then find what works best,
yeah.
you know, within our own unique context.
He stresses that, you know, thoughtful self-disclosure
right.
can be an incredible tool, particularly in addiction recovery.
Especially.
You know, it can help clients feel seen, understood, less alone in their struggles.
Right. But as we've discussed, it has to be done carefully.
Absolutely.
Ethically.
Ethically.
Clear boundaries, strong support systems are essential to avoid those potential pitfalls.
Right.
It's about finding that sweet spot
mm-hmm.
where authenticity and professionalism intersect.
You know, as I was reflecting on all of this, it made me wonder how these insights might apply to other helping professions.
Okay.
Like take teaching, for example.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in that context.
How much should a teacher share about their personal life with their students?
Right.
Where do you draw the line between being a relatable role model
yeah.
and maintaining that, you know, professional distance?
It's a good point, yeah. It's something worth considering.
Yeah.
You know, and even beyond professional settings, this whole conversation has me thinking about my own personal relationships.
Mm.
You know? How much vulnerability is appropriate with friends and family?
Right.
How do we balance being supportive with respecting boundaries?
It's a good question.
These are questions I think, you know, we could all benefit from pondering.
Absolutely. It all comes down to being mindful and intentional in our interactions.
Yeah.
Recognizing those, you know, those inherent power dynamics that exist in all relationships.
Yeah.
And always striving to act with integrity.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive for today.
Okay.
We've just scratched the surface of this fascinating topic, but hopefully it's given you some new insights and things to think about.
I hope so too. It's a conversation that deserves our continued attention.
It does, for sure.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in exploring this further,
mm-hmm.
I highly recommend checking out Michael Limata's work.
Yeah, he's great.
On ethical boundaries and counselor self-disclosure, it's definitely a worthwhile deep dive.
It is.
Until next time, keep learning and keep growing.